It was past four when he finally got the town council assembled. He was surprised that it was only old Jimson and Brown Limper Staffer. The third member had died recently, and no other was appointed. Johnny had gotten a fire going in the courthouse and propped the door back up. He introduced Angus and the parson, and the town council acknowledged them a bit worriedly. Like Aunt Ellen, they had never before seen strangers. But Angus and the parson withdrew inconspicuously to the side. Johnny made his business known to the town council. No alarm. He told them he had discovered the valley was unhealthy, and that was why they had so few children and so many deaths. And that he had originally gone off to find a better location and had finally done so. The new town was very nice. It had water available in the main street, and less snow, and more game and better houses, and even some black rock that burned very hot. And it was a very nice place. It was a good plea, and very well presented. Old Jimson was interested and looked very favorable. He consulted with Brown Limper, as was correct. Brown Limper held old grudges against Johnny. Look what had happened. Johnny had gone off, and this had drawn away Chrissy and Patty, probably to their deaths. And now, here was Johnny Good Boy Tyler, turned up a year and a half or more later with some demand that they move their homes. These were their homes. They had always been safe here. And that was that. They took a vote. It was a tie. The town council didn't know what to do.
There used to be a village assembly, a town meeting.
There hasn't been one in all my life,
said Brown Limper.
Yes, I know of those,
said Jimson.
One was held 30 years ago to change the location of the stock pens.
As the council is tied, it should call a town meeting.
Brown Limper didn't like it, but there was nothing else they could do. By this time, several people had drifted by from curiosity, and Johnny had no trouble sending word out to collect the people into the courthouse. It was five and dark when they all came. Johnny had gotten more wood and built up the fire. He knew better than to light a miner's lamp for illumination. When at last he looked at them, sitting on benches and on the floor, faces bathed in the firelight of the smoky room, he felt very bad. They were a beaten people. They were gaunt, some of them ill. The children were too quiet. There were only 28 now. A flaming rage at the cyclos surged up in him. He made himself very calm. He smiled at them when he felt more like weeping. Johnny began, with the council's permission, by opening up his pack. There were gifts. He handed out some dried meat, some bundles of kinnikinnick for food flavoring, and some very live flint that would strike long trains of sparks. The people found these very acceptable and thanked him. Then Johnny took out some stainless steel axes and showed them what they would do by cutting a large piece of firewood with one blow. The people were impressed. Johnny handed them out as presents. That done, he got out a bundle of stainless steel knives. When he showed how they cut, warning them not to cut their fingers, the women were quite excited. He handed those around.